left. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's like, wake up. I know it's a little early for some folks, late for others, but thank you all for being here. I am with the National Council of La Raza. We're a Latino civil rights and advocacy organization based in Washington, D.C., and one of the areas that we work in, both programmatically as well as on the policy side, is in healthcare and primarily health education. I have some colleagues who were very instrumental in putting this project together and unfortunately couldn't be here, but I would like to acknowledge the fact that Melissa Mercado Crespo, who was the person who actually pushed us to submit for this award, was very instrumental, as well as our evaluator, Dr. Britt Rios-Ellis. And I'd also like to thank the community-based organizations that participated with us in this project, because without them, we would not have been able to collect the data that allowed us to effectively evaluate the materials that we developed, as well as evaluate the actual intervention and education piece. No disclosures to acknowledge. I want to very briefly provide everyone an update or sort of an overview of how we do our work at NCLR, because this is really critical to how we develop our materials and the results that I'm going to discuss. NCLR primarily works through promotores de salud, which are lay health educators or community health workers, sort of the variety of names that they go through. But in working with promotores de salud and developing promotores de salud programs, we partner with community-based organizations to go through five phases so that we can ensure that the work that we're doing is meeting the needs of the community that we work with. So in the planning phase, we're working hand-in-hand with our community-based organizations to determine what areas we want to look at with the sort of topic or theme that we're discussing. And in this case, it's going to be around mental health and mental illness, specifically depression. And during that process, we're doing a literature review to guide our formative research. In that formative research, we do focus group discussions with community members as well as the community health educators, the individuals that are actually doing the work. And this is a mechanism on our end to get the buy-in of both the community-based organization, but also the individuals that are going to be implementing the project in the community, because they get to see their input materialize itself in the materials as well as in the actual implementation of the project. From that, we then develop our materials, which I'll talk about, and I was supposed to have my toolkit here for you all. Hopefully she'll be here before I finish and we can pass it around. If not, you can see it at the end. We do develop our materials based on what we find in the research as well as what we know from our experience in other projects that we've done throughout the 20 years that we've been in existence working in health. And then we field test them, and then we have the evaluation and follow-up. Oh, I went backwards. Okay, so in our year one, we partnered with, we received funding from the Lilly Foundation to develop a program focused on mental health, specifically with an emphasis on depression. As you all know, 44 million Americans are diagnosed with mental illness, and last year more than 5% of all Hispanics in the U.S. suffered from an episode of clinical depression. So we really felt that it was important to start addressing this issue, particularly as it depression and the intersection between depression and chronic diseases like diabetes, heart disease, which disproportionately affect Latino communities. So in year one, we conducted our formative research. We did an extensive literature review, then created moderators' guides in Spanish to conduct focus group discussions in June of 2006 with both male and females. All of the guides, again, were based on what the literature said was missing or things that we wanted to know and find out, and were implemented, or the focus groups were conducted by a Spanish-speaking staff member so in Spanish with the community as well as the health promoters. And questions just basically around sort of knowledge, attitudes about mental health generally, mental illness, and then depression, as well as the trusted sources of information and what sort of information they needed in some sort of program that would address these issues. So we did have some basic findings that helped guide our development of the materials. First of all, there was a difference in overall knowledge with regards to mental illness and mental health. And we felt that we needed to address that within the context of the materials that we were going to create. The health promoters were very clearly able to distinguish between mental health and mental illness, but community members weren't. So we wanted to make sure that in the materials that we created that that was very clear, that there is a difference in sort of overall general mental health and then specifically mental illness and what mental illness was. There were a range of barriers that prevented the people that we spoke to, Hispanics in the communities that we spoke to, from accessing appropriate mental health information and services, primarily language being a huge issue. While there might have been information in Spanish, it was at high literacy level if they could find the information in Spanish, and it wasn't culturally competent in that most of it was direct translations from English. And then language also became an issue when folks were seeking out providers of mental health services. There were not enough Spanish-speaking providers to provide the service in language. And then lack of insurance was also an issue in that, in terms of parity between general health coverage and mental health coverage. And then we also found that Latinos did view depression as a major debilitating illness, and but most of the time they refer to it through physical symptoms. So I felt really, really sad for a while, and my back hurt, or my back was really hurting for like 3 weeks, and I don't know why, and I went to the doctor, and I wasn't sure. So we heard a lot of that. And then as a whole, Latinos lack sufficient understanding of depression, its causes, and possible prevention methods or management methods. We also found out that Latinos felt that there was this racial and ethnic disparity between, in terms of rates of depression between Latinos and other racial and ethnic groups. They felt that because they were primarily immigrants or they were part of a minority group, that they were more at risk for depression, and those were sort of the reasons they felt that that disparity existed. And then that there was a lack of information about depression generally among the community, and there was a need to provide that information in a culturally competent way. And they really sort of honed in on the use of media to get messages out, particularly radio. The communities that we were in were primarily, with the exception of El Paso, primarily immigrant communities. So they felt that the use of media was critically important. And they also mentioned the use of the promotores de salud. These were actual, the community members mentioned the use of the promotores de salud as individuals they knew they can speak to or can help them seek services. So materials, it looks so much better in person, like if they're really here, so hopefully they'll come. But based on what we found out, we created a toolkit that consisted of a box, which is the really nice bright colored picture that you see there. Inside that box, we had a flip chart that was bilingual, both Spanish and English, because they felt it was important that everything that we had was bilingual. So the front page has an image and the back has a script for the health promoter in English and in Spanish. We created magnets that are giveaways or takeaways from folks once they come to the talk. And the magnets also were in Spanish and in English. And they had 10 tips for how to maintain good mental health or how to maintain, maintain good mental health. So anything, you know, exercising regularly, having a balanced diet, seeking assistance if you need it. So sort of those basic things that we know can assist in maintaining your mental health. And then lastly, we had referral cards, and these cards had the symptoms, sort of the messages about depression that were a part of the talk, and it allowed the sites to personalize. So what you see in the bottom, the black and white, is you sort of all of the information and the signs and symptoms of depression. You should visit a mental health person if you experience these symptoms for more than 2 weeks. On the back, it had the number for NAMI, a national number, so they can seek out that resource. Or it also had a spot that the local community-based organization can put personalized information for individuals to seek out further assistance. And when we did the training for the promoters, close to 100% of the health promoters found that the materials were useful in carrying out the charlas. And then 95% felt they were designed for the community, for the Latino community, and 90% felt that they were appropriate for community education work. So we did field test the materials with 380 individuals or 380 evaluations that we could use. We did have 8 evaluations that were from individuals under the age of 18, and the materials were not designed for them, so we excluded them from the analysis. In terms of the individuals that actually received or used the materials or were recipients of the information and materials, 76% were female, 24% were male. The average age was 48 years, Spanish being the primary language preferred, 88%. Almost 3/4 of them were foreign-born, with 40% of them spending less than 10 years in the country, and then almost 30%, 11 to 20 years, and then more than 20 years, 31%. 63% completed high school, which is a little different than what the actual numbers are for the general community. So as a whole, this sample is a little more educated than the general Latino community. As part of the evaluation, we also asked them medical information and whether they had seen a doctor, and you can see sort of that information there. But we also did ask them whether they had heard about mental illness and depression prior to the charla. About 60% of those did say that they had some previous knowledge of mental health, but only 30% of the entire sample said that they had ever been to a discussion on mental health or depression. So that was very important. And of the entire sample, a little over 80% said that they learned something new by attending this session with the health promoters. And I just want to mention, we also had the PHQ-9, because it's part of the work that we do. In addition to testing the materials, we want to gather data on the community. And we were able to have folks fill out the PHQ-9, which is a screening scale. And we did find some differences from the general data that's out there with individuals that are immigrants and have been in the country less than 10 years reporting higher levels of depressive symptoms, which is against what the literature says. So the tool allowed us to bring people in and capture this data and capture something that's happening at the community level that's not represented yet in the data at the national level. And, of course, there are limitations to that, but I did think it was worth mentioning because the tool allowed us to bring these folks in and have this conversation. Where we're at right now, we're in the second year of evaluating the materials and expanding the reach of the materials. We want to make sure that they not only relate to the groups that we worked with, which were primarily Mexican-American and Mexican origin, as well as some Central American, but we wanted to make sure that in different geographical areas, the language that was used, even though it was reviewed by a group of diverse Spanish speakers from different countries, that the language was really clear to different groups. So we're actually working with groups that have higher percentage of Puerto Rican and Caribbean subgroups to make sure that the materials do translate well to those communities as well. And we've trained an additional 21 promotores to go out and do more of these. So that's where we're at right now. We did make some changes to the materials from year one based on that data, but very minimal. And what we're finding right now, we are getting some data, and folks are really responding well to the materials. So we're really figuring out that this is really working for other groups other than the ones that we originally tested it with. So we're hoping to expand this and not only continue with the toolkit and these printed materials, but also add social marketing to this for some of the groups. So take what we're learning in terms of messaging in the printed material and translate that to radio and media. So that's what we hope to do to expand the project and continue the work and ensure that these materials are understandable and can be used by other subgroups around the country. So with that said, thank you.
So it looks like we're not going to get speakers. So we'll just require you to listen really hard.